Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 50 of Isaiah. I'll begin by reading. It's a short chapter, but there's some really good stuff in it. Verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourself, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that I cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink, because there is no water, and die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have from my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. Now let's go back and see what we got in here. Thus saith the Lord, verse 1, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Who said you was divorced? They did, didn't they? They did it, didn't they? Didn't they say it? They's always the one that says it, right? It's always somebody else. But watch what he goes on and says. Whom I have put away, or which of my creditors is to whom I have sold you? When would God ever be indebted to anybody? That's a joke, isn't it? I mean, who would God be indebted to? He said, behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves. Where's the responsibility lie? Within each individual. We have to come to the point where God didn't give up on us. We give up on ourselves. We're the ones that fall short. God never fell short. God said, I never sold you. I never divorced you from me, from my family. Come on. I've never. He said in the Old Testament many times, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But you got to understand this. I mean, everybody can hit plateaus in your growth where you seem like you're just not going anywhere. Well, sometimes it takes a while for that to soak in. But don't give up. Keep on going. Just keep on going. Don't give up. He said, it's your transgressions is why your mother was put away. Your transgressions. It's your stuff, your iniquities. He said, therefore, why when I came was there no man? When I called, was there none to respond? Why? He gave them everything they needed, didn't he? But see, he tried to show them, it wasn't by might nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. He said, you want to do it like the world does it? There you go. You can have a king. He's going to abuse you in every way possible. But just so you'll find out, I'm going to let you experience it. And then you won't doubt it any longer, will you? You'll know what that Saul will do to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like when they cried for Saul.
Absolutely. So he says, when I came, there was no man and there was no one to respond. Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeam? He said, am I falling short in something here? God said, did I miss something? Did I miss something in what I said to you? Did I leave something out? Come on. He said that I can't redeem what I have said I was going to do? Or have I no power to deliver? When did God ever lose his power? Now, I know the church has portrayed God, and if you would see God in the eyes of the church, the way they, not the way they say they know him, but the way they really see him, they see him blind, crippled, sitting in a wheelchair, not in a throne. Now, that's the way church portrays God. He can't do nothing, and it's up to them to do it for him because it's not meeting their expectations. We have to watch that our expectations don't get out in the front. I think the book says in Isaiah, I know it does, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Right? They'll mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. More maturity coming, slowing down. Okay. He says, behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. What is the sea? Humanity. It's humanity. Okay? So he's going to take the anointing away from humanity because they won't listen. They're hard-headed, stiff-necked. Correct? He said, I make rivers a wilderness. Didn't he say, you'll have rivers of living water in you? Okay? Those rivers of living rhetoric, okay, of words. It's a flow of words. But he says, I'll make the rivers a desert. Going to be dried up. Their fish stink. Now, why would he say their fish stink? Well, how does that convey to you individually?
My ideas.
Okay. Fish is the fruit of the water. Is it not? That's what the water brings forth, the fish. When God wanted fish, what did he do? He spoke to the water to bring forth the fish, right? Okay? So that's the fruit of the water. It stinks. It's dying because there is no water. And what is the water? It's the Word of God. So he's going to dry up the Word of God and cause the fruit of that person to stink. In Isaiah, he said he looked for them to bring forth fruit. They brought forth poisonous, stinking berries, didn't he? Isaiah chapter 5. Because there is no water or no word, and they die thirsty. Okay? People are dying for lack of word, and the word's right here. Where's it at? It's within you. He wrote it in our hearts before the foundation of the world. There's a deposit of faith in every man according to the new covenant. Every man. Not some of them. Well, it couldn't mean them old drunks out in the street or prostitutes or drug addicts, could he? Yeah. Every man means every man, doesn't it? All humanity. Whenever I argue with the word all, it's a losing proposition anyway. All means all, and that's all you can say. That's it. You can try to argue if you want to split theological hairs, you can, but what's the fruit going to come out of it? Nothing but confusion. He said, I clothe the heavens with blackness. What's he saying? I clothe the heavens. What's the heavens? It's the spiritual mind. With ignorance. And I make sackcloth. What's sackcloth speak of? Humility. Okay. And I make humility their covering. He's going to humble us down, isn't he? He's going to make us understand that the way to the throne is not through pride and arrogance, but through humility. That's how you come to the throne. To being a servant of humanity, not a king over them. Right? The Lord God has given me, verse 4, the tongue of the learned, that I, and cross out that word should right there, because it's not supposed to be there, that I know how to speak not a word, but the word in season, to him that is not weary, but exhausted. You know how many people are exhausted with religion? They've come to the end of the rope. They can't handle no more religion. They don't want to hear verses and chapters and books. They just want somebody to leave them alone. They're exhausted because there's no fruit in what the church has given them to do. There's no hope. They're constantly in fear. And it just wears you out.
Stinking fish.
Stinking fish is all it is. No fruit. But the Lord God gave him the tongue of the learned. See, it's not something you earn. It's a gift. If God gives something to you, what is it? It's a gift. It's not that. I had a guy one time said to me, well, Alan said it to me down in South Carolina, and he said, you piss me off. And I said, what did I do? And he said, nothing. He said, it took me 33 years to get where I'm at, and you already got it. And I said, well, it's a gift. He said, I know, and that's what makes me mad. He said, you got it, and I had to work 33 years to get it. I said, well, there's a spiritual side to this thing. And if the Spirit's going to do it, that's what's going to happen. See, God's going to give it to you. It's not going to be like you working hard. There's some work involved, but that's not where it comes from. You know, if I keep reading and doing this stuff, that isn't what shows me anything. The Spirit of God is the one that reveals the things, pulls back that veil, and shows you what you've been looking at for years. It's been right in front of your face all along, hasn't it? You just got to let God show it to you. And it says this here in a minute. I'll get to it. So you can speak the word in season to him that is exhausted. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear. Shama. To hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively as, not the learned, but that word right there means as a disciple. As a disciple, as a disciplined one. See, God gives you that ability to be that disciplined one. It's not what we do. We can't. If it was works, then we could boast about it, couldn't we? It's a free gift from God. And the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was what? I was not rebellious. Wow. You know what? There's people that's had their ears opened that are rebellious. God gave them the ability to hear something, and they don't want to hear it, so they just turn back. They just turn back to the religion. Neither turned away back. And literally it should say, I neither turned my back on God. I wasn't rebellious, and neither did I turn my back to God. But look what he says. I gave my back to the smiters. You know who that is? Religious folk. And my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. Now, you know what? We look at that as a negative. You know, a Jewish person, their character, their identity, I should say, is in their facial hair and their hair. Okay? That's how they all wore the beards and everything, the hair. Now, we see that as a negative, but I see this as a positive. It says, I gave my back to the spiders and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. They took my religious identity by the ones that God sends into your life, the negatives that abuse you, that smite you, that talk down to you, that are abusive in their language towards you, and rip off that identity of religion. That's what they're doing, isn't it? And if you don't get what he said up there, he opened my ear and I was not rebellious and I didn't turn my back on God. Just because somebody who says they're representing God doesn't mean they're representing God in a positive way, does it? They're representing him under the letter of the law and condemning and accusing you. That's not God's representative. It is on the negative side, but that's not where we're going, is it? We're going to the positive side of it. So when I see that he says they pulled the hair off, he said, I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting. So when they come and attack me, am I supposed to run away? Let them do what they got to do. If it's necessary for me to experience this abuse, this abusive language and abusive treatment, if that's necessary to bring me to the humility of my big brother who's just like my father, that would make me just like my father too, wouldn't it? Bring it on. That's right. Bring it on. You don't have to ask for it, because if God's got a call in your life, you're going to get it anyway. You don't have any choice in the matter. It's coming on. Verse 7 goes on and says, for the Lord God not will help me, but protects and aids me. Therefore shall I not be, it says confounded in King James. But let me give you a better rendering. I will not be insulted nor humiliated. Do you think Jesus was insulted by people, what they did to him, or humiliated really in anything they did to him? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're ignorant.
There's the compassion. Speaking of.
There's the compassion to know that they're doing these things ignorantly. Just like the Apostle Paul said, when I did all the things I did, I killed people. I brought them to the Jews to be beaten and thrown into prison, and I even killed some of them. He said, but God doesn't hold me accountable because I done it ignorantly. I didn't know what I was doing, but now I know. Now I'm accountable. See? Jesus taught the same thing to the Jewish people. You say you have no sin, so now guess what? You're accountable. He said, you say that you know everything, so you're accountable now. But if you said, we don't understand, your sin would be removed. But you got to carry the burden because you say you already got it. But when you do it ignorantly, God understands. You're not going to convince God you knew or didn't know. He already knows that answer. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. Now, what's the reason of talking about your face being set as a flint? It is determination. A flint is a very hard adamant stone. You can't do much with it. It's hard. You can chip off little pieces of it. It can be used as a tool, but it can be used to make sparks. There's lots of things, can't they? Okay? But here's what it's saying. I have set my face like a flint, and I know. They're setting your face like a flint. When you know that I shall not be ashamed. I know what I'm doing is right. It doesn't mean because a whole bunch of people agree with me, I'm right. I'm right because I heard God speak to me. Does that make sense? Jesus said in John 10, my sheep will hear my voice, and another voice they will not follow. When you hear that voice from your shepherd, and there's only one shepherd, guess what? When you hear that voice and recognize it, what have you got to worry about? You just listen to what he tells you. I can't tell you everything to do. I can only give you a pattern of things. And you and your shepherd will work it out. I'm not saying might work it out, because I'm going to say the right way, you're going to work it out. You and him are going to work this thing out. It's not an option. He said, I'm going to reconcile all humanity back to me. And that makes you part of it, and that means you're going to do it whether you like it or not. He's going to reconcile you. Right? It's coming. Don't worry about it. Verse 8. He is near that justifies me. Well, the word justify is not really correct. I don't want to shock anybody, but they found a word that's not correct in here in the translation. The word really means vindicates. He is near that vindicates me. Now, a judge can justify you, but he can vindicate you. And vindication is a much better word in this translation. He vindicates me, and that means the same answer that was given on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was a vindication. That wasn't a judgment. He vindicated them. No matter what they've done, I paid for it, Father. Don't worry about it. I'll take it. I'll take the penalty. Yeah, not guilty. I want to read a couple of verses to you in the New Testament. Romans 12, 19. And it says this, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The word vengeance there, guess what it is? It's what I said to say, the word, I've lost my thought there. It's vindication. I will vindicate, okay? His way of repaying it is vindication. You don't give evil for evil, but you give good for evil, don't you? That's what he tells us to do. And I got one more in Hebrews, chapter 10:30. Hebrews 10:30. Okay. Hebrews 10:30 says this, because we know the one that said, vindication belongs to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. See, that's a direct quote from what we just said. Okay. I will, you know, the vindication belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. I will repay. So whose job is it to take care of all that? Okay. That's it. And until you come to the place where you have became a full-grown, mature son of God, then we have no place judging anybody. But in that greatest... And see, Stephen said the same thing, didn't he? When Saul was dying, he said, Father, don't lay this sin to their charge. Same thought process. Don't charge them with it. They're ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. They're killing people. They're killing me. Don't worry about it. I'm okay. See, that was the Christ in him crying out. Okay. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, who will contend with me? Let us stand together. If one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. Who is my adversary or my accuser? Who is my accuser? 1 Peter 5:8. Read it to you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, and that word devil means what? The accuser, diabolos, the false accuser, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Threatening. It's just like a paper tiger, roaring with no teeth. He's been defanged. He has no teeth. Okay? But anyway, we need to see that this it's all going on in our head. All these things going on. It's all an image that we have built up with help. These images we have didn't come on our own. They came through religion. Religion has taught us all these things that are not true. And it's like a computer. If we took this computer sitting right over here on the table and tried to run a new program in there with that operating system that's in there, we'd get into conflicting problems, wouldn't we? But the way you do it is you deprogram, you strip out the old operating system and put a whole new one in. Kind of like he said in Ezekiel, I'm going to take out your old heart, your old mind, and I'm going to give you a new heart. See, it's the mind of Christ. One has to go. Two can't occupy the same space at the same time, can they? And God said he's going to do that. And we have to permit, not wrestle, but give our back, not turn our back on God, but give our face to him. Let him have it. Let him do whatever he wants with that thing up there.
Old wineskin?
Sure it is. Absolutely. He said, let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will protect and aid me. Who is he that shall condemn me? I think one of the New Testament writers said, Paul said, who shall convince me of sin? Is that not the same thought? Who will condemn me? Sin is condemnation, isn't it? Who will condemn you? Tell me. Only that false accuser between your ears. Nobody else. If you're a child of God, nobody should be condemning you. Should you? You shouldn't listen to anything they say. They can say all those nasty, accusing words, abusive language to you. And you know what? It doesn't mean anything. Because in the end, you're going to see that they're going to love you through it. You're going to love them. Because love is going to win it all, isn't it?
Amen.
It's going to win the whole thing. No matter what they think, they're doing a job, and they're not doing it to you, they're doing it for you. They all shall wax old as a garment, the moth shall eat them up. A moth is something that's very destructive. It's very deceptive, because a moth looks like that pretty little soft, flittery butterfly that just couldn't hurt anything. But what does it do to your covering in a closet? It destroys it, doesn't it? It weakens the fabric, destroys it. And the same thing, that moth is them things in your head. Them thoughts in your head that's destroying your covering. And I'm going to tell you, your covering is not flesh. Your covering is the righteousness of God. Do you hear me? And the moth can't do it. The moth can't touch it. But as long as you think that what you're wearing right now on the outside of you is God, guess what? That moth is eating you up right now. He's destroying the very fabric of your being, which is the righteousness of God. the Spirit of God. In your mind, not really, but in your mind, you're being destroyed by that pretty little moth that looks so unintimidating, but yet doing so much damage. Verse 10, who is among you that fears or reveres the Lord, that obeys, and the word obey is shama, that hears the voice with the intent to respond to that voice positively, of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light. He said, the one who hears it and walks in darkness and have no light, walk in ignorance and have no light. Wouldn't that be what the church world calls heathen? It says, let him trust in the nature of the Lord, the name or the nature, the shame, okay? The nature and character of the Lord, and stay upon his what? Elohim. Stay upon his Elohim. That's not just God the Father, that's God the Father and the Son united, the many-membered body of Christ. That's all of them. Okay? Now verse 11 comes in, and you might take this as a positive thing, but I'm telling you, it's coming negative. The last line tells you, this is a negative. He said, behold all you that kindle a fire. And we've heard, you know, God makes his ministers a flaming fire. And they run off. I've heard people preach this thing and say, oh, this is when God's making you a flaming fire, that compass about yourselves with sparks, with yourselves about the fire with sparks. With sparks, walk in the light of your fire. He didn't say his fire, did he? And in the sparks that you have kindled, not what God has kindled, you shall have of my hand, said, this shall you have of my hand, you shall lie down in what? Does that sound like the hand of God doing something great for you? Lying down in sorrow? This is a negative. He said, you religious folk that think you can do it on your own, go ahead. Go ahead and create your fire and encompass all them little sparks around you. Get all them little sheeple around you can gather, because you're going to lay down in sorrow. When you die, you're going to find out, I never got to know my God in that realm. I have to wait till I come on the other side. I blew it. I got caught up in religion. And you know, there's going to be a lot of people. You know, Jesus said in that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I wasn't associated with what you was doing. You're doing your own thing. And that's where the church world is. They're doing what's right in their own eyes. Like it says in the Old Testament, in Judges, said, in that day there was no judges in the land, and every man done what was right in his own eyes. Isn't that what's going on in the church today? Same thing. Any questions? This is another piece of our experience of walking through and knowing what God is doing for us.